Data thieves have gotten into the Social Security numbers and driver's licenses of 44% of Americans. Our coverage continues of the massive breach of security at one of the credit reporting companies. I'm David Brancaccio from the BBC studios in London this week. Equifax, the huge consumer credit score company, has revealed that hackers got into their database containing some of the most sensitive information on 143 million customers, two out of every five Americans. Marketplace's reporting team is on this. Let's bring in one of our New York reporters, Sabri Benishore, starting with the scale of this.
Yeah, it's absolutely staggering. And to put this into context, all three credit bureaus have now been hacked in years past. And, of course, so have many private companies, Target, Home Depot. Here's Aviva Leighton with Gartner Research.
To put it in perspective, even though it was potentially 143 million records, probably that much is already out in the criminal public domain. I'm serious. I've worked with state governments who've been telling me that they have evidence that over half of their resident population has had their identities compromised.
And as one security expert told me, Equifax is a company with tentacles running out from its database to every block in the economy. So it's hard to lock down, and criminals are also getting extremely sophisticated.
So now it's safe to assume our information has been hacked. What then?
Well, Equifax is offering free credit monitoring and identity theft protection to the entire U.S. population. You should watch your finances like a hawk for any sign of odd activity. You could freeze your credit, that is, shut down your or anyone else's ability to open up a new credit card. Experts say you should sign up for two-factor authentication, do not use the same password across accounts, and change the password to log into your phone account. Hackers these days are using people's phones to authorize fraudulent activity on their credit cards.
Sabri, thank you. Florida residents continue to fill up their gas tanks as Hurricane Irma nears landfall. Many gas stations in the southern part of that state are without fuel as Governor Rick Scott has encouraged people to evacuate in the face of what could be a Category 5 storm. And while the governor has made an effort to get gasoline to consumers more quickly, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports supply just can't keep up with demand.
Typically, major storms hit one part of Florida. Irma is different. It's hard to know where it will strike. So James Miller with the Florida Petroleum Marketers and Convenience Store Association says everybody is looking to get out.
Because so many people throughout the state were panicking and filling up and topping off, it made the shortage even more significant.
The real issue here is that suppliers can't get gasoline to gas stations fast enough. Gas Buddy analyst Patrick DeHaan says there's more gas in Florida than is getting to the pumps, but he says there aren't enough gasoline trucks or spots to fill up those trucks.
Thinking about it as a grocery store, truckers are waiting. There's not enough trucking bays at these facilities to accommodate all the trucks that are waiting to fill up.
Governor Scott has authorized escorts to expedite getting trucks to gas stations. Beyond that, there's little to be done ahead of Irma. Down the road, the state could consider building a gasoline reserve, but that's something to consider after the storm. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
As the British government argues with itself, as well as Europe, on how best to get itself out of the European Union, what we keep hearing in London is loose talk that the departure ultimately may never happen. Even though the voters have spoken, maybe they could speak again in some kind of second referendum, and those voters might have second thoughts. But one may not want to bet money that Brexit goes away. Listen to economist Ruth Lee at Arbuthnot Banking Group here.
We will leave the EU in March 2019. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, some Remainers would love their second referendum, but I don't think that'll happen. And then what David Davis, who's the key minister for doing the negotiations from our side, is trying to do with the EU is have some sort of transitional arrangement whereby there'll be some ease on the customs relationships, perhaps a little bit on the single market. And then after the transition period, that's it, we're out, and we hope there will be a free trade agreement with the European Union. Of course, there's always the possibility that we'll just fall out, a so-called hard Brexit, but I don't think that's very probable. It's certainly not in our interests, and it's certainly not in the European Union's interests.
It's just that so much trades on this hope, you know, the expectation that cooler heads prevail, that negotiations progress, that people see it in their interest to keep tensions at a minimum, but it might get ugly.
Oh, indeed. And if it is just that we fall out without any trade agreement at all, then we fall back on the WTO, the World Trade Organization rules, which means it's feasible because after we do over 50% of our trade under WTO rules, this idea that WTO trade under WTO rules would be a disaster is not true. And indeed, if you look at our trade with China or the States or Switzerland, these countries that are not in the EU, our trade has actually grown quicker with them over the last 10 years than it has with EU countries.
Ruth Lee, economist at Arbuthnot Banking Group, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And this month, London's Transport Authority is set to decide whether Uber's license will be renewed in this vast city of 10 million people. Well, today, Uber pledged to go all electric or hybrid in London by the year 2019. It's going to make grants of up to $6,500 to help drivers get the cleaner cars. Also today, an Estonian car service named Taxify got its license pulled here after just 3 days in business. Taxify is now working to conform to the rules that it's accused of violating. In London this week, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.